everyone. Welcome to the Moana Villages podcast. I am so honored to be here today with two people who I have gotten to know over the past, well, really one of you over the past couple of years, and then more recently, another one. So this is Molly and Opie. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves in just a second and tell you a little bit more about what they do during the day. But one of the most beautiful things for Moana is that they are on our junior advocacy board. And oh my goodness, have they already made an incredible dent in their advocacy. And they have done meaningful work already in the few months since we started this board, which is only in May. Seems like a long time ago. But we are going to be having a conversation today about a series that Molly and Opie did on our Moana Villages Instagram. And it was such a meaningful series that we decided to do a whole podcast for you to hear more about their heart behind it. And then just this conversation about ethical orphan care. And so as we're talking, I'm going to be looking at questions on my phone for them. So if you see me look down, that's what that's about. But Opie, why don't you start first and tell us, by the way, where you are and what time it is, and then a little bit about what you do during the day, and then Molly, you can share after she does.
Awesome. Hi, my name is Opie. I'm in Nigeria right now. It's 10 p.m. My family's in the next room, so it might be a little noisy. I'm sorry. So I am like doctor/artist. Currently now I'm doing an observership at a clinic in Nigeria. It's a cardiology clinic. I'm learning so much. I'm loving it. And I'm still making art on the side. So I'm actually having one of my work show in an exhibition that's opening this Saturday. So yeah, I'm so excited to have had Maribeth reach out to me and ask me, like, this is like a dream for me. So yeah.
I love it. Doctor and artist. I mean, really, come on. So you can help people feel better in more ways than one, right? So I
love it. Exciting times.
All right, Miss Molly.
All right. My name is Molly. I am in Canada. I live in Canada. It's currently 4 o'clock here, not 10 o'clock. And I just graduated from Mount Royal University in Calgary, Alberta. And I just graduated with a Bachelor of Child Studies, it's called. And now I am working at an outdoor forest school with toddlers and preschoolers. And I plan to pursue a Master's of Social Work in the next year as well.
I mean, okay, so everyone listening, these women are crushing it in their areas of life. So I love it. Okay, y'all, thank you so much for being here today. We're going to dive right into some of these questions. And so I'm going to start, Molly, with you. So again, if you don't follow us on Instagram, then you might want to go follow Moana Villages, and you will see that this summer we did on Fridays what we ended up calling the 411 series. And so Molly, this was your idea to do the series. And so what gave you the idea and what was your overall hope for someone following along with the series?
Okay, so there's a little bit of backstory here. It really started a couple of years ago. I took a class called Child and Youth Human Rights in university. And I had the opportunity to write a term paper about ethical orphan care and the orphan crisis. And I was exposed to all of this new knowledge, a lot of which was very opposed to the narratives that I had actually been hearing in my life. And so I really started to see the truth. I kind of like couldn't look away. So at the same time, I was also beginning to see social media in a new way. It was around the time of the pandemic, and I kind of saw a shift in the way social media was being used. And really this like new side of social media that was so focused on advocacy and like the sharing of knowledge between people, like not even just influencers, but like people I know were sharing new information. And so I kind of saw this opportunity of when I had the opportunity to have that first meeting with the advocacy board, this like, what if these two things came together and we could use social media in this new way to communicate all of this new knowledge that I know the people around me don't know in the same way that I didn't know. So yes. Yeah, I got really excited about how that could kind of come together. And then having Opie's talent for graphic design, it just kind of all fell together perfectly.
And what I love, Molly, about what you're sharing is that your gifts and passions were able to be easily used to advocate for Moana, right? That that is what advocacy is about. It's not, it's using what God has gifted you with in order to tell a story. And oh my goodness, because graphic design nor social media is my gifting. So I was amazed at all of it, right? And so, but it was incredible to see the facts that you put on there that that were enlightening, I know, for a lot of people. So, all right. So Opie, I want to ask you this. When people think about the word orphan, they may have a preconceived idea of who an orphan is. So can you define the word orphan? And again, this was kind of part of the series that what's the difference and similarity between an orphan and a vulnerable child?
Yes, absolutely. What's funny is that I learned a lot, even just like looking at some of the information that Molly had put together from just the post that we did. So an orphan is defined as a child who's under 18 years who has lost both parents to any cause of death. So it's like child with no parents. It can be a single orphan where it's just one parent that's lost, or double where it's both of them that's lost. But the word orphan is very much linked to just having a death of a parent. Yeah. I think what most of us would think it was is like what is defined as a vulnerable child, right? Mm-hmm. So which is a child under the age of 18 who's currently at high risk of lacking adequate care and protection. That means the child may have lost a parent, or both parents may be alive, but still they're at risk of not getting the adequate care and protection that they need due to maybe chronic illness or extreme poverty or living in a war or conflict zone. But they are marginalized and being discriminated against.
Yes. Well, and I've told both of these women to jump in at any time. So y'all, if you have comments as the other's talking, please jump in. But what I love about that too is getting those definitions, because the reality is that a vulnerable child is susceptible to potentially being orphaned, right? Because all the factors that cause orphanhood, which is why if we can work with vulnerable individuals and empower them, as the thing we love the most about Moana is empowering families who are vulnerable and coming alongside women who are struggling with, you know, their circumstances, then we can potentially prevent, at least on a level, potentially orphanhood. So thank you for sharing the difference between those two. And even the single and double orphan, when y'all did that as part of the series, like I'd never heard of that. So like you said, Opie, that you learned while they were doing that. So a single orphan and a double orphan. So maybe those of you listening, maybe that was new for you. Molly, one of my favorite quotes in the series is, "The end of the orphan crisis will not be met by finding homes for all the orphans." And that might be surprising to some people. So can you speak a little bit more about that and what your view on that was?
Yeah, so I think this is like a very important truth, especially because the common narrative that's shared in our Western world is that the solution to the orphan crisis is adoption. Like that's the dominant view that you're going to hear, particularly international adoption. It's like, we just need to take all the orphan kids and bring them over here. And that's what I had always thought. In fact, I actually like dreamt of the day when I would be able to adopt internationally since I was a little kid. And that's kind of what spurred all of this on. And I think the issue is that international adoption is actually a business, and it's exacerbating the orphan crisis, right? Which people don't understand.
Yeah.
And this is contrary to how it might seem, but the orphan boom actually creates a demand for healthy, adoptable babies.
Yes.
And so this idea of, oh, let's just find homes for all of them, that could never be a solution because there'll always be more demand.
Yes.
So there'll never be enough homes, right? Yeah. Like it has a cyclical nature to it. So when you understand that, it becomes clear that the only way to solve it is to go to the root of the issue.
Yes.
You can't just like keep brushing things under the rug by finding homes because it'll always be there.
Yeah.
So this is what I love about Moana, is like you said, Mary Beth, like empowering children and women and families in Congo to move towards well-being so that the homes aren't even necessary anymore, right? That like eradicating the demand.
Yes.
Instead of just continuing to try to fulfill it.
Yes, absolutely. That is, oh my gosh, That was like at the end, eradicating the demand instead of trying to fulfill it. So my dad shared with me today about a movie that he watched recently. I don't know if it was on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something, one of the 15 streaming services, but he talked about, it's called Reclaimed, where a person was adopting and found out that basically the child was being trafficked. And this goes to exactly what you're talking about, that so many times, again, you are so right. It's one of the obvious things that people go to is the solution is to adopt. And while adoption can be a wonderful thing in the right context, in the right place, I mean, through Moana, it is one of the lower solutions, but sometimes that has been a solution for a child. But that there are so many outlying factors that could negatively affect international adoption that when we do go to the heart of the issue with families, that we are so much likely for a child to end up in a safer space. Because when people know that foreigners are looking for a child, they might take a child from a family just so that they can have the money, which is crazy. Because I didn't even know what an unethical adoption was until I didn't even know that there were unethical adoptions until I got to Moana. So that was a shocker. So Opie, do you have anything? I know as we're talking, I know I've got a question for you, but.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say like, even now I have to find myself like catching myself when I'm talking to my friends, like, and just sharing about it, being like, you know what, like, this is what we've always thought, because I love the fact that Moana is in Congo and it's in Africa, because it's almost like it's in home base. Like people have this idea of young people coming from different countries and they adopt from like, maybe like underdeveloped countries, and like Nigeria is one of them. But seeing something like that being established in Africa and knowing that the answer actually is, almost seems like it's simpler than we would have expected it to be, because it's just like, if I can support this family ecosystem, then I can support this child. Mm. So it's really bizarre, but I still find myself having to catch myself when I'm talking with my friends that, no, like, I know you want to adopt, but actually maybe if you just support like reunification. So no, I mean, what Molly said was the truth.
Absolutely. And it seems, like you said, it seems almost so obvious when you're like, oh, wait, supporting families to help them keep their children. Why does that seem so obvious, but it yet is not the narrative? And that's a whole nother, as we say in the South, whole nother podcast. Yeah. But it is a thing that we want to keep talking about on podcasts like this, is what does it look like if the obvious solutions aren't maybe the best solutions? So, okay. Mm-hmm. So my next question is, and this kind of goes back to what Molly was just talking about, the root causes. So Opie, there are several root causes that have caused the orphan crisis, which, by the way, I wrote something for one of our sister organizations recently. There are 153 million orphans worldwide right now, according to UNICEF and counting. And so I did a time, like I was trying to get my head around that. Sometimes big numbers are hard for me. 153 million seconds is 4.5 years. So for every second that ticks by over the next 4.5 years, that's how many orphans there are in the world and counting. I mean, think about that. I didn't even count like the Haiti earthquake and all that just happened. So even wrapping our head around that, but what are some of these several root issues in the orphan crisis? I mean, I know poverty is one of them, but what are some of the others? And do you think true change is possible? And if so, how?
I mean, you hear those numbers and automatically you're overwhelmed. Like, it's like, you know, but I like to think about it that they are not all in the same places and we are not all in the same places. So if I just focus on who is in my space and where I am and what I can do, that can make a difference. And really, I feel like we all know, like, what will make a child's development not good, what could create an orphan, death and disease. Like, if initially this is the person who cares for this child and they die, or there is a pandemic or like Ebola, like where, like, you know, who parents are wiped out, child is left by themselves, obviously death and disease. If they're just like some wild like outlier stories of cultural pressures where maybe, I mean, I know there was a time like in Nigeria where it was like having a male child but is more important having a female child, and so there was just things like that. War and corruption. It's like if the government does not support its people, you can have people with good intentions who want to care, but like obviously that ultimately leads to poverty. If a country is spicy, no one is really caring about what's happening to your children who are just trying to stay alive. I think ultimately everything kind of really just ties back to the lacking an environment, either through resources or just the people who are able to create the environment where your child can fare well. But yeah. I mean, can it be solved? I think maybe not to look at it in like, oh, I just need to fight somewhere for 150 million, but just in my country, what is actually the situation? Like, what are happening to the orphans in the area where I'm living? Mm-hmm. Is there an organization that's actually trying to address that? And what can I do? Do I know a child who maybe I've seen that their family's not doing well and I can kind of like, yeah, okay, just try to support them? I think that's the only way, or it can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love what you said, and Molly, again, if you have any thoughts too, but I love when you said, pay attention to what's around you, because you're so right. If we look at the big picture, then we can often say, you know what, forget it, just forget it. It's not possible. But if we go, huh, there is an issue. If there are 153 million orphans and they're spread out everywhere, there's likely some near me. Mm-hmm. And so how can I be involved with them? And you mentioned poverty and war and death and disease and all these outlying issues that lead to orphanhood. And you said something else that I was going to comment on, but I've lost it. I don't know. You said something that maybe it'll come back to me in just a second, but it was a good point. Everything you just said, the issues are there and they are reality. And if we just take one step at a time in the area where we are, then if every single, particularly believer, would commit to that, wow, there could be a true dent. Molly, did you have any thoughts on that?
Opie just reminded me. So in my country's context, our child welfare system is overwhelmed with Indigenous children, because we have an Indigenous population in Canada that is marginalized largely. So that Opie just reminded me, like, there are orphans in my own city, like 10 kilometers that way. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think especially, in like the Christian context, I think sometimes it's easier to, maybe feel better about yourself if you can kind of separate it and put it far away and say, like, I'll just go on a missions trip here or send my money here, instead of recognizing that it's in your own backyard.
Yes.
Because that's often harder, right?
Yes.
Like, that's more real.
Yeah.
So you have reminded me, Opie. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm reminding myself. I was saying, I was like, what am I doing?
Hey, this is why we have conversations, right? Because conversations amongst each other can breed these thoughts like this. So this is exactly why we're doing this, and exactly what we hope people will take a next step from this podcast and just have conversations with someone like, wow, I just heard this and here's what I learned from this. And maybe I will look around to see in my area what is happening. So I am going to speak for a second too, just about Moana, that, you know, in addition to empowering families, so we do work with women, we work with families in the community. We have a local Congolese staff that is committed to family reunification and preservation, but we are also starting foster care. You know, that the idea that we are so glad to have the Moana Refuge as a place where children can land, but we most certainly hope that they don't stay there forever, that we hope that for each child, there can be a family-based idea that they can be moved into. And it's going to look different for each person. But I love the fact that we're not just inundated with hundreds of children, that they're so uniquely known. And while they are at the refuge, they're given the best care, but that the long-term strategy is thinking beyond just as what is happening in the refuge. And like you guys said about Moana, I love that we want each child to experience the permanence of a family. Mm-hmm. If the Lord so allows, which we believe he will. So, okay. Many people think that adoption, and Molly, you kind of spoke to this earlier. So I would love to unpack this for just a few seconds before we close, that many people think that adoption is often the solution, and yet it can exacerbate unethical practices like trafficking. So can you or Opie, you guys speak to what you've seen about how adoption can be kind of a messy situation in certain circumstances?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, that supply and demand issue that I was kind of speaking about, that when we talk about something being a business, we're talking about supply and demand, and the focus becomes money, right? Like, the goal is, how can we fulfill the supply and the demand while making a profit? Mm-hmm. And how terrifying it is that the system of adoption has become that. Mm-hmm. Like children have become products in a business. That's and the parallels that you can then see between that and human trafficking, like, yeah, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. That mm-hmm. should never have been how it ended up.
Yeah.
It's been, and even like if you think of the red flags, like even just the fact that it costs so much to adopt internationally.
Yeah.
Like, let that be a red flag. Where is that money going?
Exactly.
Because it's not going to the child. Exactly. It's not going to the to their family. Where is it? Like, it's crazy if you think about every adoption costing thousands upon thousands of dollars. It's like, yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, I think once you kind of peel back the layers a little bit, it's kind of like this never ending, oh my gosh, I thought that adoption was the solution, but like, whoa, no, it's not. It's like this black hole of the truth where you're like, oh my gosh, I was so wrong about that, which mm-hmm. is, I'm so glad that I was so wrong about that. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Opie, I'd love to hear any of your thoughts, but I, you know, what you just said is that adoption is the money. That another thing about Moana that I love so much is that we take, even in the case where adoption is the solution for the child, that we take no fees, right? There's no adoption fees associated with Moana. So it all goes directly to the child, which again, yeah. Until I got involved in Moana, I didn't even think about where the money went. You know, I just knew it was expensive and I wanted to help friends who were adopting. So then mm-hmm. you're like, wait a minute, why? Why is it so mm-hmm. expensive? Opie, any mm-hmm. comments before I ask the next question?
I mean, no, just that is amazing. I really didn't know that about Moana. I don't know, I've never asked, but yeah, some of these things make so much sense, like logically, like, duh, it should be that way. Yes. But yeah, no, I completely agree with Molly. It's like when you add profit to anything, I don't know, I think maybe the human heart naturally just corrupts things. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I can get money off of this as well, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, interesting.
Awesome. Yes. All right, y'all. So I want to ask you both, and we have like two other quick questions. What made you join the Moana board, and how do you see being part of Moana as helping the orphan crisis? Whoever wants to go first.
I can say, I think I joined the board for my own knowledge, I think. Like, I feel like because this is almost like a new kind of uncovering of this social issue that there's not really a whole lot of resources. At least I have found there are if you dig, but like at the surface. So I was kind of just like, where can I find other people and other knowledge to, yeah, it was less about advocacy and more about learning for me, I think. And then that kind of just spills out into advocacy, right? Like, it's cyclical nature, which is kind of what we talked about in our series too. Like, the first step is knowing and finding the knowledge and the wisdom to understand. And then advocacy kind of overflows from that. So I think that's why I took that step. Honestly, I don't even remember how it happened. I was like, oh, I'm doing this.
Story of my life. How did this happen? God. So yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Opie, what about you?
I think mine's kind of like Molly in terms of like joining. Why? I think I found one of the Archibald's Project's videos on YouTube. Because I was meant to adopt. And so I find their videos and then I'm watching, and they're talking about like ethical, like adoption. And I'm like, wait, what? I've never heard about this before. And I found out about Moana, I started reading about what you were doing. And it was like, I didn't really understand everything. And I still don't understand. But you know, when you're like, I want to be part of this, it just seems like this is where I'm supposed to be. Like, I want to be part of what they're doing. And yeah, just like Molly, I feel like I'm learning as I'm going, and some things I'm still having to unlearn and like stop myself when I'm speaking. Like, okay, wait, no, this is what this means. This is what we should be doing. So yeah, just glad.
Love it. Well, we are so honored to have you both. And so in conclusion, last question is there one resource that you can recommend for people, be it a book, be it a podcast, be it a movie, whatever, that if someone is hearing this and their mind is like, that they can say, okay, I want to further my learning. What's one resource that you would recommend them to?
I would say if you're starting, Opie just mentioned it, but if you're starting and you don't want to like read, because I feel like a lot of the resources are kind of thick, the Archibald Project is a fantastic resource.
Archibald Project.
They've got like great videos, great, follow them on Instagram, like wherever you want to start. They've got a great docu-series on YouTube that looks at different ethical adoption organizations. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very wonderful. That's where I started.
Okay. And so the Archibald Project is what she's saying and is on Instagram. And ironically, or godronically, the founders, Nick and Whitney Runyon, adopted through Moana. So yes. It all works together, right? So
yes.
I love it. So Opie, what about you? Any resource or book or anything that you think you'd recommend?
I would say WP podcast.
It's okay.
This is real life. I would say definitely the Moana podcast, because like it's like people like who like me and you and Molly who are just really trying to learn, but we care a lot about what is happening in with the orphan crisis, and so we're kind of learning along the way and trying to figure out how to, you know, just make some positive change. So definitely I recommend the podcast that you're currently listening to. Keep listening.
Fantastic. And we hope to have more episodes with awesome people like you in the fall. So, okay, everybody, we're going to wrap up, but let me give you three next steps. If you're just like, what do I do with this? Number one is that to pursue a resource that has been recommended today. Number two is maybe have a conversation with someone and just unpack a little bit about what you've heard. And think, okay, what is it now that I know this, what is the next step that I'm going to take as a result of knowing this? And then the third thing is that if you have ever thought about adoption as part of your future, look into more about unethical adoption, you know, and that, and just become more aware of the pitfalls that are out there, so that if you do continue down the road with adoption, you're going into it with eyes wide open, because there are places like Moana where ethical adoptions do happen. I think they're more rare than they're more the exception rather than the rule. So you want to make sure that the place that you're working with is pursuing ethical adoptions. And then we hope you'll continue to listen to this podcast. But Molly and Opie, thank you so much for your time and for your wisdom. And again, or also a next step too, is to go back to the Moana Villages Instagram or follow us and look through the 411 series. They did such a phenomenal job. The content and the design was outstanding. So you're both incredible. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
For your time. And we hope everybody has a fantastic day. See you soon.
Bye.